We're good? Entertained a motion to come back into public session?
Yes, you got that?
Motion, Mrs. Deaver, second, Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll read the rules of procedure for county council zoning hearings. When council holds the public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Sussex County in its zoning and land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the council in its deliberations. Each application shall be announced. The director will review with council the minutes and testimony from the planning zoning hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the planning zoning hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application, present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless the council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak, you are required to come to the front and stand at the speaker stand and state your name and home address before you make a statement. Please sign the sheet at the speaker stand. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to Mr. Lank and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that prior speakers have already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. Today we have three applications that are going to be heard as with one public hearing, but the council will act on the three separately if you decide to act today. And they are change of zone number 1746, change of zone in 1747, and conditional use number 1986. Mr. Lang.
Yes, thank you. For the benefit of the record, I have to read the paragraphs that relate to these change of zones and conditional uses. First one being change of zone 1746, the application of Castaways Bethany Beach LLC is an application to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from a C1 general commercial district to a MR medium density residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 9.45 acres more or less, land lying east of Cedar Neck Road, Road 357, across from Sandy Cove Road, Road 358, and being north of Ocean View, being identified on the tax rolls as tax map ID District 134, Map 9, and being a part of Parcel 21. Second application is change of zone number 1747, again, Castaways Bethany Beach LLC, to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from a MR medium density residential district to a MR RPC medium density residential plan community to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 17.8 acres more or less, land lying east of Cedar Neck Road, Road 357, and across from Sandy Cove Road, Road 358, and being north of Ocean View, And again, being tax map ID District 134, map 9, part of parcel 21. And the third application being conditional use number 1986 of Castaways Bethany Beach LLC. This application is to consider the conditional use of land in a MR medium density residential district for multifamily dwelling structures to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 11.56 acres, more or less, land lying east of Cedar Neck Road, Route 357, across from Sandy Cove Road, Route 358, and being north of Ocean View. And again, being a tax map ID, District 134, map 9, a part of parcel 21. So, for the benefit of the record, the Planning and Zoning Commission did hold public hearings on April 24, 2014. Also, for the benefit of the record, the council has been provided with a copy of a spiral-bound exhibit booklet titled The Preserve at Cedar Point, which is a representation of this application. I will advise the council that the agenda lists the application in different order. Mm-hmm. And the way we present them at the commission is the same application, but we switch the order because of the type of rezoning. The first one's rezoning from commercial C1 to MR. Mm-hmm. That made all the parcel MR. Then the second application is MR to MRRPC to allow for the residential plan community. And the third one is the conditional use to allow for the multifamily use application in the MR district. We switch the sequence.
So then they'd all be subject to conditions then?
No, the RPC or conditional are both subject to conditions.
Yeah, right. Okay.
For the benefit of the record, the report prepared and was in your packet on Friday makes reference to the report of the Planning and Zoning Commission. The one thing I noted is that the commission hearing, we had received 46 letters and emails in opposition to these applications. A large number of those emails and letters made reference to opposition to a proposed campground and water park. Mm-hmm. And that's not a part of the application. Also, we'll make available to the council, if you so desire, we can make copies of all those letters available to you for review after the public hearing. As I said, this is a downzoning from C1 to MR, then a conditional, then a MR to MRRPC, and then a conditional use.
We're having a...
Can you hear you?
On the internet.
Oh, already? Sorry. One thing I did receive... for the benefit of the record, the residential plan community proposes 45 single-family detached dwelling lots, and the conditional use proposes an additional 30 single-family attached dwellings within 10 buildings. Mm-hmm. The public hearing process, Todd Burbage, a principal of the Castaways Bethany Beach LLC, was present with Jim Fuqua, attorney with Fuqua, Urey, and Willard, professional association, and Jeff Clark of Land Tech Land Planning LLC. In addition to the letters that we received before the commission's public hearing, we've received four additional letters to date since. Those letters were in opposition, and the one was from Lynn Carlton. One is from Scott and Pat Resnick. And there was an email sent on May 20th from Debbie Swadley Engel. And then the council was sent a copy of an expanded letter in opposition from Debbie Swadley Engel. I think you all have copies of that letter, so I won't get into that. During the public hearing process, Mr. Fuqua submitted suggested proposed findings of fact and suggested condition of approval. We did find there were no parties present to speak in support of or in opposition to the application when we had the public hearing on August 24th. All three applications were deferred on the 24th for further consideration. On May 22nd, the commission discussed these applications under old business, and the commission recommendation that follow relate to each application individually. In relationship to change of zone 1746, the application for the rezoning from C1 to MR, Mr. Smith stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of change of zone 1746 for Castaways Bethany Beach LLC for a change in zone from C1 general commercial to to MR, medium density residential, based upon a record made during the public hearing for the following reasons. One, this is a downzoning, resulting in a significant reduction in the type of permitted uses for the land. The permitted residential density is almost also much lower under the MR zoning classification than it is under C1 zoning, which permits up to 12 residential units per acre. Two, the rezoning is necessary for the applicant to achieve MR zoning across the entire parcel so that a uniform development plan with a residential plan community overlay can be achieved. Three, the rezoning will not adversely affect nearby uses or properties. Four, the rezoning will be consistent with other area zoning classifications and uses, which do include GR and MR zone properties. Five, the site is located in the environmentally sensitive developing area under the county code and the county comprehensive land use plan. The rezoning to MR is consistent with the purposes and goals of this area, and permitted housing types include single family, townhouse, and multifamily type units. Six, the MR zoning is appropriate since the site will be served by central water and it is a part of an existing Sussex County sewer district. And seven, the rezoning is consistent with the stated purposes of the MR zone. There was a motion and a second carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that this application, being changed to zone 1746, be approved for the reasons stated, and that motion carried 5-0. In relationship to change of zone number 1747, the MR to MRRPC application, again, the commission discussed this application on April 24th, 2014, and deferred action, and then on, got my dates mixed up here, May 22nd, the commission discussed under old business. Mr. Smith stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of change of zone 1747 for Castaways Bethany Beach LLC for a MRRPC medium density residential plan community based on a record made during the public hearing for the following reasons. One, the RPC permits the development of 45 single family lots to be part of a mixed use residential development. Two, the site currently is approved for 143 residential units. The total number of units or lots and units for the entire project will be limited to 75. This is a significant reduction in density. Three, the RPC designation will allow the development of this property in a way that is consistent with nearby communities. Four, the proposed MRRPC project meets the purpose of the zoning ordinance by promoting the orderly growth of the county. It is also in the environmentally sensitive developing district according to the comprehensive land use plan. This type of RPC residential use is permitted under this designation. Five, with the conditions upon this project, the RPC designation is appropriate for this parcel, since the purpose of an RPC is to encourage large-scale development as a means to create superior living environments and the use of design ingenuity while protecting existing and future uses. Six, the RPC will be served by Central Water and Sussex County Sewer. And seven, this recommendation is, however, subject to the following conditions. A, there shall be no more than 45 lots within the RPC. B, the applicant shall form a homeowners association responsible for the perpetual maintenance of streets, roads, any buffers, stormwater management facilities, erosion and sedimentation control facilities, and other common areas. C, the stormwater management system shall meet or exceed the requirements of the state and county. It shall be constructed and maintained using best management practices. D, all entrances shall comply with all of DLDOT requirements, and an area for a school bus stop shall be established. The location of the school bus stop shall be coordinated with local school district. E, road naming and addressing shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Department. F, the final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex Conservation District for design and location of all stormwater management areas and erosion and sedimentation control facilities. G, a 20-foot forested agriculture buffer shall be shown along the perimeter of the entire residential development, including the area covered by conditional use number 1986. The final site plan shall also contain a landscape plan for all the buffer areas, showing all the landscaping and vegetation to be included in the buffer area. H, no wetlands shall be included within any lots. I, the subdivision shall be served by Sussex County Sewer. J, as proffered by the applicant, the developer shall construct all recreational amenities no later than the issuance of the 50th residential building permit for the entire project, including conditional use 1986. K, construction site work, grading and deliveries of construction materials, landscaping materials, and fill on, off, or to the property shall occur from Monday through Saturday between the hours of 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. L, this preliminary approval is contingent upon the applicant submitting a revised preliminary site plan, either depicting or noting the conditions of this approval on it. The staff shall approve the revised plan upon confirmation that the conditions of approval have been depicted or noted on it. M, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion and a second carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that this application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion again carried 5-0. On conditional use number 1986, the conditional use for the multifamily dwelling structures, the commission again had deferred action on April 24th, 2014, and discussed it under old business on May 22nd, 2014. And Mr. Smith stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1986 for Castaways Bethany Beach LLC for multifamily dwelling structures based on the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, this conditional use permits the development of 30 multifamily units to be part of a mixed-use residential development. Two, the site currently is approved for 143 residential units. The total number of lots and units for the entire project will be limited to 75. This is a significant reduction in density. Three, the conditional use will allow the development of this property in a way that is consistent with nearby residential communities, and it is consistent with the prior approvals for multifamily units on this parcel. Four, the conditional use will be served by Central Water and Sussex County Sewer. Five, the conditional use will be not adversely affect adjacent properties, roadways, or other public facilities. Six, this recommendation is, however, subject to the following conditions. A, there shall be no more than 30 units within the conditional use area. B, the applicant shall form a homeowners or condominium association responsible for the perpetual maintenance of streets, roads, any buffers, stormwater management facilities, erosion and sedimentation control facilities, and other common areas. C, the stormwater management system shall meet or exceed the requirements of the state and county. It shall be constructed and maintained using best management practices. D, all entrances shall comply with all of DLDOT requirements, and an area for a school bus stop shall be established. The location of the school bus stop shall be coordinated with the local school district. E, road naming and addressing shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Department. F, the final site plan shall contain the approval of Sussex Conservation District for the design and location of all stormwater management areas and erosion and sedimentation control facilities. D, a 20-foot forested agriculture buffer shall be shown along the perimeter of the entire residential development, including the area covered by change of zone 1747 for the RPC portion of the development. The final site plan shall also contain a landscape plan for all of the buffer areas, showing all of the landscaping and vegetation to be included in the buffer area. H, the project shall be served by Sussex County Sewer. I, as proffered by the applicant, the developer shall construct all recreational amenities no later than the issuance of the 50th residential building permit for the entire project, including the RPC portion of the development covered by changes in 1747. J, construction, site work, grading and deliveries of construction materials, landscape materials, and fill on offer to the property shall occur from Monday through Saturday between the hours of 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. K, this preliminary approval is consistent upon the applicant, or contingent, excuse me, upon the applicant submitting a revised preliminary site plan, either depicting or noting the conditions of this approval on it. The staff shall approve the revised plan upon confirmation that the conditions of approval have been depicted or noted on it. And L, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion second and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion carried 5-0. A little bit of duplication, but you refer, notice that we did the change of zone for the RPC makes reference to the other portion of that site that's being used for the conditional use, and then we had to flip-flop and do the conditional use, making reference to the conditions on the RPC. So there's a duplication of the condition, but there are three separate applications.
One has condominiums.
One has town, one has multifamily, and one has single family. Right.
I noticed that we're asking that the developer produce homeowner association documents or condo documents. When did that have to be done?
Well, before they could record their final plan, the county attorney has to approve those documents.
Will those buyers have that right up front? They'll know?
They would have. They'll be recorded. Okay. How it's disclosed through real estate transactions is between the developer and the buyer. Should be.
It's up to the developer to...
up to the basically the developer and the real estate agents to how they disclose.
And also the closing attorney.
Yeah,
would also, the closing attorney would also provide those to the purchasers.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other questions from council? If not, Mr. Fuqua.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Deaver, gentlemen. For the record, my name is James Fuqua. I'm an attorney here in Georgetown. I'm representing the applicant, Castaways Bethany Beach LLC. With me is Todd Burbage, who is a representative of the applicant, and Jeff Clark from Land Tech. As Mr. Lank stated, there was an exhibit book submitted containing various documents and exhibits that we've submitted for the record. Those exhibits include our response to the plus comments, an environmental assessment and public facilities evaluation report, and a summary of the subdivision considerations set forth in the subdivision ordinance. As was stated, we have three applications before you, which under the zoning code, it's necessary to do. However, this is one development. It's going to consist of 30 townhouses and 45 single-family lots. And there is some background I need to explain, but I hope our presentation isn't much longer than Mr. Lank's introduction of the applications. What I'm going to do, I'm going to address the general information and nature of the site, a little bit of history of the proposed use of the site, which is relevant to this application, some of the land use regulations that are applicable to the application, and then Jeff Clark will review the details of the site plan. As been stated, we are requesting approval to create a mixed-use residential development to be known as the Preserve at Cedar Pines. It's comprised of 75 residential units, 45 single-family lots, 30 townhouses, and as has already been stated, we have three applications, a rezoning from commercial to MR, a conditional use for 30 townhouses, and an MR-RPC for 45 single-family lots. The site is located on the east side of Cedar Neck Road. To the east or the rear of the site, back here, there are some state and federal wetlands, and the land borders up to lands that are owned by the state of Delaware. To the north of the site, which would be to the right, the property borders an existing residential subdivision, the reservation. To the south of the site, or to the left, are lands that are zoned C1. Those lands are the site of the Bethany mini storage business. And to the rear of that are some lands zoned MR. And to the west, the property borders on Cedar Neck Road, which is County Road 357. On the other side of Cedar Neck Road, to the north are several residences, and to the south is the Hawker G&E store and some other retail stores, and those lands are zoned commercial. Our site contains a total of 29.36 acres. The site currently has split zoning designations. The approximately this part of the site, the north part, is zoned MR. The southern one-third, this part right here, is
zone C1 commercial.
The northern site, again, contains 19.91 acres. The southern portion, its zone commercial, contains 9.45 acres. As to the history of the site, this is the same property that was approved by the county council as a conditional use for 143 multifamily units, and that was conditional use number 1488 in 2003. And that approval, this is a site plan of that approval. Again, the MR lands, this commercial zone lands. On the northern portion of that site, there were 80 multifamily units and five buildings. On the northern side were 63 townhouses. On the bottom side, in the larger buildings, were 80 multifamily units and five buildings, a total of 143 units. That application was filed by Vaughn Melson and his father, and you may remember, I think I was before you a couple of times. Unfortunately, Mr. Melson, the senior, unexpectedly passed away. That resulted in some unforeseen delays, obviously, with the development of the property. However, that approval of that development is still valid before the county, so it currently is approved for 143 units. As a result of the delays due to Mr. Melson's death, the development obviously didn't occur. It then ran into the economic downturn and the recession that pretty much brought a lot of development to a halt. And the economic conditions that affected things also affected the multifamily market, and basically they just were no longer in demand. So it was decided to seek an alternative use for the site other than what currently was approved. In July of 2012, applications were filed by Castaways Bethany Beach LLC seeking approval for an RV campground with 139 campsites, 60 residential cottages, and a water park that would be open to the public. And that included this land before you today, as well as a portion of a parcel to the south of this. To put it mildly, those applications were not warmly embraced by the area residents. And in December of 2012, the Planning and Zoning Commission, by a 3-2 vote, actually recommended denial of those applications. The main objections that were raised by the opponents and by the commission concerned the increased RV traffic that would be on Cedar Neck Road, which basically lacks shoulders, and that resulted in safety concerns, and the general position that the area was, for the most part, contained residential uses, and that an RV park and a recreational water park were out of character with the area and caused concerns regarding safety, noise, and impacts that basically were inconsistent with a residential area. On December 21st, prior to our hearing before the county council, the applicant withdrew those applications. And as was stated in the letter withdrawing the applications, the applicant wanted the opportunity to reconsider alternative options for the use of the property and the development of the property. The applicant did that. Those reconsiderations results in the applications before you today for the development to be known as the Preserve at Cedar Pines. And again, to make it clear, it's 45 single-family lots, 30 townhouses with recreational amenities. There is no campsites, there is no campgrounds, there is no water park. That application is done.
The only thing the same between the two applications is the attorney?
Yes, that's pretty much it. And the applicant.
And total acreage as all together?
No, that's less mm-hmm. than what it was before.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In the design of this application, or the three applications before you today, the applicant actually listened and considered the concerns that were raised at the planning and zoning meetings, and we believe that these applications represent a reasonable proposal for the a use that is consistent with the nature of the area. And as I mentioned, I think that's particularly true when you consider that this site is currently approved for 143 units. And in effect, what our application does is reduces the approved density by 68 units from the currently approved 143 to 75. And as if that wasn't enough, shortly before the planning and zoning hearing on this application, there was an article in the Coastal Point newspaper that unfortunately was interpreted as stating that our new application before you was a revised application for a campground, multifamily units, and a water park. So the public interpreted, and I don't think improperly, let me just read what the lead sentence of the article said. It says, on April 24th, the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission will hold three public hearings regarding revised requests submitted by Castaways Bethany Beach LLC for a proposed campground, multifamily duplex residential units, and a water park to be located on Cedar Neck Road north of Bethany Beach in Ocean View. Obviously, people thought we were coming back in with the same application. There were numerous emails sent in, causing us quite a bit of concern. So at the planning and zoning hearing, I explained what I just explained to you, that it was just a misinterpretation. That's not what this application is. Assured the commission that we were not seeking that, and in response to a question, indicated that if we ever intended to do that, we'd have to come back before you and the planning commission on a public hearing. But obviously, that is gone. So if there's still any concern out there about what this application is, it's for 75 residential units. At planning and zoning, after we did have an opportunity to explain that, there were people here and no one did speak in opposition. I think as Mr. Lank stated, on our applications, the Planning and Zoning Commission did recommend unanimously that these applications be approved. Now, because of the mixed zoning of the site, and again, just the mechanisms to have this approved, we have three separate applications. The first application is to rezone the 9.45-acre parcel that is currently zoned C1 commercial to MR. As you know, the northern two-thirds of the site is already zoned MR. Southern one-third is zoned C1. So by rezoning the C1 to MR, it'll result in the entire property being zoned MR. And again, as you know, this rezoning is a significant downzoning, both in the permitted uses of this commercial site and in the permitted density. The current density for the commercial site is 12 units to the acre, and by rezoning it, we're downzoning it to 4 units to the acre. And of course, the 9 acres that are commercial now permit a host of business and commercial uses. By rezoning it to MR, all of those commercial uses would no longer be permitted. So again, it's not that often that we're really requesting downzoning, but this is certainly a significant downzoning. The second application is conditional use for the townhouses. That would be this right here. These would be 30 townhouses. And then the final application is a single family RPC for the 45 lots on the remainder of the property shown right there. We believe that the three applications and the proposed mixed-use residential development is in accordance with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. The Comprehensive Plan of Future Land Use Map designates this parcel as being in the environmentally sensitive development area. That designation is one of the growth areas created by the plan. The plan states that a range of housing types should be permitted in the environmentally sensitive development area, including single-family townhouses and multifamily-type units. The plan strongly encourages that development in the environmentally sensitive development area be served by central sewer and water. This area is already served by central sewer and water. The site is in the Cedar Neck expansion of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District. The site already has approval for 143 units or 143 EDUs. So our proposal of 75 units is roughly about half of the EDUs that are already committed for the site. There is a letter from the county engineer's office confirming that sewer capacity is available for our proposed development. Central water will be provided by Sussex Shores Water Company for both domestic use and fire protection. Sussex Shores Water Company already supplies this area, so this is an area that will just already be utilized by service. As far as traffic impact, again, because of the reduction in the number of residential units, the traffic impact of what we're proposing will be approximately one-half of the traffic impact of the currently approved 143-unit development. Entrance improvements will be located and constructed as required by DLDOT. As I mentioned, the rear or easterly side of the property does contain some wetland areas. Those wetlands have been delineated by EnviroTech Environmental Consulting, Inc., and the Army Corps of Engineers has issued a preliminary jurisdictional determination letter that was dated September 30th, 2011, and that is valid for 5 years, so they have been approved by the Army Corps. The remainder of the land is, for the most part, cleared open area. There are no other significant environmental features or conditions that would adversely affect the proposed use. And with that background, I'm going to turn our presentation over to Jeff Clark to review the site plan with you.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Jeff Clark. I'm a licensed landscape architect with a firm of Land Tech Land Planning in Ocean View, Delaware. And I'll be referring to the plan that's in your tab 3 in the books that have been distributed. And I'll start by describing that we have a single access into the planned community from Cedar Neck Road. It lies about 340 feet north of the Sandy Cove Cedar Neck Road intersection. The current plan is about the current approved plan has an entrance in a similar location. A swimming pool with sunbathing deck, pool changing room, and fitness room are situated just inside the entrance to the community and on the exiting side of the main entry-exit driveway. Automobile and bicycle parking are provided for the residents and their guests immediately in front of this amenity. A pedestrian sidewalk system is planned on one side of the private streets throughout the community, linking each home in the community to its neighbors and to the swimming pool and fitness room. Pedestrian scale street lighting will be placed along all private community streets, sidewalks, and parking areas to promote safety and security for the residents and their guests. Multifamily housing, which I've rendered in the orange color on this plan, is arranged around open courtyard areas for shared recreational use by the multifamily residents and their guests. The enlargement at the bottom right-hand corner of the plan illustrates the configuration of the typical multifamily units. They're grouped as two sets of three homes each with an 8-foot building separation. Each group of six homes then is separated as required by code from its neighbor by a minimum of 40 feet. The multifamily dwellings are planned near the entrance, as you can see, with single-family detached homes lying within the interior of the site and facing the wooded water and wetlands views to the east. The single-family lots are all at least 7,500 square feet in area with the required minimum width of 60 feet. All the setbacks that we've shown on the plan before you conform to the code requirements. The typical curbed street pavements are 24 feet wide and lie within a 50-foot wide right-of-way. Each multifamily and single-family detached home are provided as required with two off-street parking spaces, and the plan also in the multifamily area, especially in where the swimming pool area is, are provided with some additional guest or overflow parking. A continuous landscape buffer is required on every subdivision in Sussex County. This plan shows that. You see the green rendering around the perimeter of the site, and it will have a mixture of evergreen and deciduous plantings everywhere that the site is not currently wooded. Areas along Cedar Neck Road, Bethany Mini Storage, and the reservation, in addition to the landscape plantings, there will also be an earthen berm installed to further buffer sounds, lighting, and views from neighboring commercial and residential land uses. As it's envisioned, the preserve at Cedar Pines project will utilize green technology best management practices as are required by DENREC, including a combination of bioretention, infiltration, bioswales, pervious pavements or porous pavements, and filter strips to achieve stormwater quality management to meet or exceed the current DENREC requirements. Given the tidal connection on this site, there is no quantity management required in accordance with DENREC regulations. The preserve project will have potable water distributed through a centralized piping system. We are, the site does lie within the Sussex Shores Water Company service area. Again, there's the letter in tab 9 expressing a willingness and ability to serve this site in the book. And there is an existing 12-inch water main that lies along the front of the property on Cedar Neck Road, and that will serve the needs for water on this site. As Mr. Fuqua mentioned earlier, the site is in the wastewater collection area for Sussex County. In fact, pump station number 176 is situated on the property, so the entire property would be served by gravity systems. There is a pump station at the end of what's called Territory Trail in the reservation subdivision immediately to the north. As to traffic, on December 9th of 2013, our firm submitted a service level evaluation request to the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Department. And DelDOT, through their response, has determined that the projected traffic from this development is below the threshold to require a traffic impact study. This project, as is currently approved, previously dedicated right-of-way along Cedar Neck Road as a 20-foot strip amounting to about a half an acre of dedication of this property to the public use. The State of Delaware Division of Fish and Wildlife and Natural Heritage Program did not review this project through the PLUS process. However, in May of 2012, on a previous application on the same site, the agency commented that according to their database, there are no records of state rare or federally listed plants, animals, or unique natural communities at this site. They're not aware of any designated critical habitat at this site. I believe Mr. Fuqua covered the fact that the tidal wetlands and non-tidal wetlands have been mapped and approved, their delineations approved by the agencies. Letters from both of those agencies are in the book. And open space, by definition, using the Sussex County Subdivision Code as a guide, total open space is 14 and a half acres, again, using that definition. Results in a 49% open space community. Correspondence received from the Office of State Planning Coordination included comments from the State Historic Preservation Office, and he says, quote, there are no known cultural or historic resources such as a natural or national registered listed property or an archaeological site on this parcel. Again, as Mr. Fuqua stated in his closing remarks, in tab 5 of the book, we have our response to the December 26 plus review, and my response in tab 6 to chapter 99 of the ordinance for the subdivision considerations.
I got a question for Jeff. Can
I do.
Sure.
Is there a reason you configured it with the townhouses in that corner and the layout of the single family the way they are? I mean, is there a reason why you picked that layout? And the reason I asked the question is, I'll go further. I'll help you. You got the reservation single family home lots, and you got the multifamily abutting that. And then on the other side, you have the mini storage, and you have the single family home lots abutting mini storage. Now, my little bit of real estate experience would tell me that the single family home lots, the way they're laid out, is not that desirable because the views of some of those lots will be the parking lot of the G&E or the mini storage. And then why wouldn't it have been flipped to make it a better plan to also abut single family to single family, et cetera, et cetera? I'm just curious because I do have a real estate license and I live in that neighborhood and I'm familiar with other projects and I just know that neighborhood pretty well. I'm just curious if that's the best plan you could have come up with.
Yeah, there was some thought given to that, and Jeff, you can explain it.
I'm just wondering.
Certainly one answer is that when you have a community that has multifamily and single-family mixed, you generally orient the multifamily near the entrance because you don't have the multifamily people driving through the single-family community. That's quite often done. Okay. The other issue, and probably the more important one, is that DelDOT wanted the entrance there.
Okay.
So that was, I mean, they don't want the entrance across from the commercial property. They definitely did not want it lined up anywhere near the intersection.
So the entrance dictated where you felt the townhouses should go.
It was felt that if there were single-family homes, if you had to ride past the single-family homes to get to the multifamily, mm-hmm. that was putting, you know, a lot of traffic in front of single-family homes that would detract from probably their value.
I see why you're a lawyer, not a realtor.
Can you tell me why?
I wouldn't think that way, but that's okay. That's okay.
So I see.
With an RPC, you're allowed some commercial, but you decided not to take advantage of that.
That's correct.
No, thank you.
And the RPC did afford you what, smaller single-family lots, or?
That's correct.
7,500 square foot lots.
Any other questions from council?
I see a lot of communities with one entrance. I guess that's the way it goes these days. Has your experience been good with that? I mean, not having any other way to get into it? Just that one entrance?
That's all that's planned.
That's all that's planned.
Just a single entrance.
And with only 75 units, it's probably adequate. Some of the larger developments, it might be questionable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, and sometimes people try to make roads through if you have more than one entrance. Okay, good.
If there are no other questions from council, did you have anyone else? Mr. Fuquay, do you have any wrap-up?
Yes, that's all we're presenting. In closing, basically, the applications we have before you obviously are a significant step back from the RV water park application that never got to you, that was withdrawn. But not only that, it's also a substantial reduction in the currently approved residential development that exists. This rezoning and conditional use, it creates 45 single-family lots, 30 townhouses. We believe it's in accordance with the county comprehensive plan. It's consistent with the general nature of the residential development in the area. It takes into consideration the concerns and objections that were raised at the planning and zoning hearing on our prior application that was withdrawn. The net effect of these applications will be the elimination of a commercial zone parcel containing about 9 acres and the reduction in the approved residential density of the site from 143 units to 75 residential units. The Planning and Zoning Commission did recommend approval by a unanimous vote on all three applications. The findings and the conditions from the Planning and Zoning Commission on both the change of zone, the conditional use, and the RPC, we believe are appropriate and acceptable to us. They were the conditions and the findings that Mr. Lank read, and we do request your approval. And again, we'll try to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone here that would like to speak in favor of this application? Seeing none, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Yes, ma'am, would you come forward? Give us your name and address, please.
Hello. My name is Debbie Swadley Engel. My address is 30178 Cedar Neck Road, Ocean View. It's identified in the Sussex County tax parcel, parcel number 87, and it's part of the same lands that are deeded to Vera K. Swadley in the Office of the Recorder of Deeds in Deed Book 2030. Again, it's parcel 87 on the tax map. Mr. Lank, do you need a copy of this for the record, or do you have that?
I have a copy for the record, and all the council members have a copy.
Okay, thank you.
Unless you change it.
I didn't change it. I wish I had reworded a couple things, but I didn't change it, no. Okay, thank you. And could I please use your display boards? Okay, thank you. Okay. My property is parcel number 87 on Cedar Neck Road, 357. It's located 368 feet north of Sandy Cove Road, and it's on the west side of Cedar Neck Road heading out to Quillen's Point. The land is zoned residential. It is directly across the street, across Cedar Neck Road from the proposed applications. My family has been in residence here since 1958. So I am about here, I think. All right. I am present today in opposition to conditional use 1986, which would allow for multifamily dwelling structures to be located directly in front of several single-family homes, one of which is ours, and an entryway directly in front of these single-family homes, or just a few feet south of our home. Now, based on the footage of 340, I'm not quite sure. I thought it was 240, the entranceway, but 340 puts it smack in front of my house. A lot of traffic, if I may use your words, a lot of traffic in front of single-family homes is not how a community typically is built. So for the following reasons, we oppose this conditional use. First of all, conditional use 1488 that is referred to and was one of the reasons for approval by the planning board was approved in 2003. A lot has changed since 2003. I actually looked to subdivide this lot last year, and I was told it would not be considered because they look at 250 feet of footage on Cedar Neck Road in order to subdivide a lot. I had 104 for each lot. So that didn't work for me. As you may be able to see, you can't see on these maps, but you can see on the tax maps, everything here north of this complex is 100 feet approximately, which is what the planning and zoning, I believe, used to use in the past. So things change, but the bottom line is this development doesn't even give us 100 feet of frontage. It actually gives us the back of the dwellings with a 20-foot buffer. And this is not the view from my home that I want, and I don't know how many stories these dwellings are. It's not what I ever expected, that my parents ever expected, and I just don't want that lack of privacy across from my home. Now, with conditional use 1488, the acreage is far less, as you know, it's been stated, and therefore the units automatically go down. You can see it from an aerial view. It does not include this plot here to the south end, which is commercial, which is this. And what was approved prior did include that. It also, what was approved prior, included townhomes at the north end and multifamily stacked units at the south end. So the higher end of that approval, the higher end of homes, were across from our property. According to this preserve plan, the lower end of the homes are now across from my residence. Hopefully I'm making myself clear. So I find that although it is a valid approval from 2003, it's not, there are more important things to consider. So the second reason is that the application for the multifamily dwellings is not exactly what they described it to be when the planning board made the approval. The application describes it today as being across from Sandy Cove Road and the G&E Market. And actually, the conditional use is across from private single-family homes. So, you know, out on this point, we refer to that, which is Sandy Cove Road North, if you're following me. Here, out this way, it's a small strip of land. It consists of only single-family homes. There are no townhomes, so that's not consistent. As they state, it has lovely subdivisions, streets, a nature preserve, multi-acre, tennis courts, horse farms, and inland waterway. It's simply not consistent with current development trend north of Sandy Cove Road. Third, in planning and zoning, the Castaways application put forth as a document, their declaration of covenants, conditions, and restrictions for this property, for like a homeowners association. In the definition, they don't mention, there is no definition for multifamily homes in this property.
I've never seen a man move so fast in my whole life.
Yeah, I'm glad it wasn't me with the phone. But anyway, so we do have what they submitted at the April 24th meeting. I can read it here. There is no definition for multifamily homes. The definition of a lot is that it shall mean and refer to any unimproved or improved plot of land intended and subdivided for a detached single-family residence shown upon the record plot as numbered parcel but shall not include common areas, blah, 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 as hereby defined. So only lots with single-family units are placed, which we would agree with. And I did make copies of all of this. It was on record for planning and zoning. I don't know if you have this in your tab, but you can read it. This is an exhibit from the applicant. Okay. The current proposal at the preserve, which includes 1746, 1747, and the conditional use, which I oppose, has the entranceway 240 feet north of Sandy Cove Road. And again, there are there are multiple single-family homes along that stretch. This would create a significant safety hazard for these single-family dwellings with increased in-and-out turning traffic, also significant nuisance in dark conditions when headlamps would be required. The headlamps would shine directly into our homes. There is clearly a logical location for the subdivision's entrance at Sandy Cove Road, which is already a three-way intersection. If there is a reason, some reason, which was talked about prior, can it be reevaluated? You know, we always change and upgrade our requirements, and shouldn't it be reevaluated versus putting the entrance in front of the homes? In the alternative, the entrance should be and could be placed adjacent to commercially zoned property on the south of the site plan, which is where the applicant state it is located.
It is located. So, I mean, I know it would require
their site plan to change, but it's all around commercial property, and there is no... there are no townhomes north of Sandy Cove Road. In conclusion, The applicants before you do not contain a water park, which is great. There are 68 less units than what had been approved in 2003 with less land on the site and that were approved in the Planning and Zoning Board. After review of the Castaways' applications and their supporting documentation from both the Planning and Zoning meetings, the conditional use will significantly adversely affect adjacent properties. The traffic entrance is across from our dwellings, creating safety, nuisance, and privacy issues. There are no multifamily dwellings currently north of Sandy Cove Road, regardless of what was approved 11 years ago. There are none. And what has been stated on record, the outlook and requirements have changed, and multifamily is not consistent with the neighbors. The applicant's own covenants, conditions, and restrictions at the preserve at Cedar Pines do not contemplate multifamily, and there are other logical entrance locations to this applicant's proposal that would not be across from our dwellings. If there could be future consideration, and if there could be any future consideration for a traffic signal, which has been in dialogue, that would absolutely be disastrous to our property values and our quality of life. So, you know, I didn't talk about the traffic signal dialogue much because I assumed it meant Fred Hudson Road, which is much further south. But if there's consideration for any additional traffic signal, it would be disastrous. So I sincerely thank the council for hearing our opposition. We respectfully request that you consider denying this conditional use request, 1986, and any subsequent requests as currently proposed. Respectfully, Deborah Swadley Ingle, Stephen Swadley, and Roberta Swadley.
Question.
Thank you. Yes.
Question.
Yes, sir.
The signal that you're so concerned about, is it only if it's in front of your home or if it's in other locations, it would also be devastating?
In front of my home, okay. It would be devastating.
You were suggesting that the entrance be moved down toward the commercial area, right across from the road that comes in.
Sandy Cove.
Uh-huh.
Sandy Cove.
If it was moved there, it would seem to beg for a light. Would that be a problem for you?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
But chances are the DelDOT wouldn't approve one. There's not enough traffic.
Oh, can't get a traffic light out of
it. I just don't see. I don't
regardless
see it
of the light. Moving it down to that location is what she would like.
Right.
Okay. Is there anyone else? Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition, sir?
Yes, my name is William Johnston. I live at 30192 Cedar Neck Road, directly across from the project. And I know that it's something that was inevitably going to come. I'm glad it's the townhouses and homes instead of the water park. As far as the light, I'll have to agree with Debbie. The light could, if it was one, could be moved down. One of my questions is, though, if someone could answer, the central water system that you're talking about, this would not interfere in any way with us that have wells in any way, because as George knows, Mr. Cole, the majority of people that live down Cedar Neck are on wells, not central water, except for only Quillen's.
If you want the water, would you have to, they can't force it on you.
No, in other words, okay, this is the central water system, is that right?
Sussex Shores.
Sussex Shores. In other words, would you have a point that where you could hook onto it? Is that what you're saying?
Make a request to Sussex Shores.
Oh, I see.
I'm sure they will make it. Build it so you could tap into it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But they're not going to force you to hook up.
Right. But it will have no effect on my well. In other words, a lot of places I know that if your well runs dry, you have to hook up to their city water. Is that right? I know in Middlesex is like that.
Their pump is down on the highway.
Yes, sir.
Miles.
Right. Okay.
Away from you.
Okay. That's my concern. And as far as the bus stop, where will the bus stop be located for the children?
Didn't hear about a bus stop.
There was going to be a bus stop, I heard.
It was a condition suggested by the Planning and Zoning Commission that that be a condition of approval. The developer would have to then establish where, and that would have to be approved through the local school district.
Oh, yes, sir.
DLDOT and the county.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, living there for a little bit of time that I've lived there, and Mr. Cole can attest to it, traffic on Cedar Neck Road isn't greatly, but it's very high speed. For 35 miles an hour, you can forget it. That's one of my complaints. I mean, I don't know how to correct it. We have state maintenance, but they're not always there. But anyway, thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in opposition? Anyone else in opposition? Seeing none.
Yes, question.
Yes, Mr. Cole.
I got a question. Lawrence, the Skip Warndorf's property was zoned for townhouses years ago, which is right behind that 3 acres or something.
Right.
Remember?
On.
Did that get caught up in when we extended everything?
It's under the time extension.
It's under the, so it's still a valid?
Still there.
Still valid.
Okay. So behind you.
That's on Sandy Cove Road.
Behind both of you have townhouses.
Right.
So it's hard to say it's out of character. If they've got approvals there, too. They're not built, I understand. I do sympathize with the concern about the entrance. I just think, no offense to anybody who planned this out, but I think it's not logical to maybe put the townhouses next to single. I mean, it seems to me it should be reversed to what you have. Could I ask Mr. Fuquay, on the entrance, did you request any other options, or did you just go with the old approval and basically run with that and stay with that?
You mean referring to DLDOT?
With DLDOT. Did you go and actually through the PLUS process say, you know, did they say that an intersection or a entrance where the Cove Road is, Sandy Cove Road, where it would line up, would be not as desirable as what you have or something?
We met directly with DLDOT.
Okay.
They said nothing south of that intersection was acceptable because you know yourself.
Not south, but if it lined up.
It's a giant commercial parking lot. They said that to have an intersection against something that has an angle like that,
okay,
they would never approve.
Okay, they don't
and
like
they
that
want
either.
Us to be as far away from that as possible. Uh-huh. So.
And again, this is where roughly where.
Well, I'm just thinking the same. They could have had the same response to the original Melson application. Okay, that's one reason then to put it there.
Now, as the lady said earlier, the previous application we had that failed had an entrance all because we had more land then. It was all the way down. It was a whole different ballgame, a whole different set of circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
So, but with these properties, this was all that DLDOT would work with us on.
But then one of the things we did, the entrance is approximately where it was, and there were townhouses here by this entrance, and that's how this was designed. So the change here is really no different than what's currently approved.
Okay. Seeing no one else wishing to speak in opposition, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter, and if it's council's pleasure, close the public record.
We'll close public comment. It's a pleasure, council. Close public record. Okay, Mr. Phillips.
Not completely interested in giving up on DLDOT, and it would almost seem like it'd be worth reaching out to them just to find out if there's any opportunity to put that entrance at the intersection of Sandy Cove Road. I hear what you're saying, but they've been able to do some realignments from time to time to make an intersection a little more safe. If they were to grant the entrance there, multifamily would be down by the many storage, as Mr. Cole suggested, and closer to the commercial Hawker facility. The single family homes would be next to each other, and at least some of the concerns of the residents would be taken care of. I guess I'd ask that at least on that element, we leave the public record open until we can confer with DLDOT that there's just no budging on that point.
I like to do that too. That's right.
I'll make that motion.
Mr. Phillips, second Mrs. Deaver, to leave the public record open
yes.
for conversation from who to Del Doc?
Is there?
Mr. Lank or?
I would think Mr. Lank, Mr. Moore would be appropriate.
Okay, in light of that, I got one suggestion then to add to that, if they're just going to ask Del Doc. If Del Doc came back and said they could, why don't we leave the record open also for the applicant to maybe be able to modify not change in density or anything else, but if he needed to modify because of some testimony we get, that we don't have to drag it out too far, that maybe they could have a revised plan showing, like, say, a flip or something, or reflecting this other intersection if it became available. So I'm just saying we would give the applicant the ability to. How would you state it?
Well, I was just looking through the conditions and the reasons. So Mr. Lank, let me know if I'm wrong, but there's no specification in any of the conditions as to the location of the entrance anyway.
Really?
It just says the entrance has to be in accordance with Del Dot.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to Del Dot.
If there is some testimony that says the entrance could be changed, Then the applicant might want to modify something if because it might sense that the council might support that change. So I just wanted to give them the ability to change their site plan so that we're not stuck with that picture.
Let me ask
if things change.
If maybe after the testimony of the public. Del Dot did have the interest in maybe moving the entrance of your development to Sandy Cove Road. Would you be able to flip it?
Since I sat through the meeting with Del Dot, they were vehemently opposed to any kind of intersection that's not intersecting at a 90-degree angle. That's traffic engineering. And I'll get that in writing for you if you like. I sat there and heard it, and there was no discussion about that because it was just said no.
Mm-hmm.
So if the council would like to have that in writing from somebody on Del Dot's letterhead, I'll be more than happy to get that. But I know what the answer is.
Is that the only other option you've got?
Well, again, Del Dot, as you know, controls the location of entrances, and that's where they ask us to put the entrance in that general area. So they want us to be as far away from Sandy Cove Road as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And we are very close to the one that's currently approved. So,
and it's also basically the entrance that the council, I know it wasn't some of these members, but it's the entrance where the council approved this before, and the Planning and Zoning Commission approved the site plan. So we're not being unreasonable coming before showing.
No, nobody's implying it. I know that. It's exactly where it was before, and it was, like I said, it's been in the works for a long time.
And again, it's where Del Dot said to put it. So I'm sorry, it's a little bit frustrating
Well, maybe documentation for Vance and as quick as you can. I
would just like to feel that it's the only.
So I believe then the motion would be requesting keeping the record open for the purposes of receiving documentation from Del Dot as to the permitted location of the entrance.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That suits you, Mr. Phillips,
I'll
or you want
that.
Something
That's
different
motion.
Than that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I just hope that the applicant understands that Del Dot's refusal to move it could lead to a no vote from this councilman. So, sure, that's fine.
A motion, Mr. Phillips, second. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Any questions on that motion?
Yes, I'd like to know.
Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried.
We've only waited how many years on this thing? We could wait another week or two.
So I'll assume it'll be in order for a motion to defer?
That is correct, and there's on all three.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a motion from council to defer on conditional use 1986, change of zone 1746, and change of zone 1747?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Yes. Cole, second, Mr. Wilson.
How long will it be before you think we can give them an answer?
Well, we only have next week, then we're off for 4th of July, so it wouldn't be till the middle of July till we're back in business anyway, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that right? So it'd be middle of July.
So a couple weeks, something like that.
I seem to remember that the objections from the neighbor was that, if I have it correct,
Pardon me?
I think I understand her objections were that it'd be a very busy place if it's located there. Also, I think I heard her talk about the backs of the multifamily homes. I'm not sure. So they'd be facing inward, and was that it as far as what she was saying? I think those were the two big items. Okay.
Right. I would prefer, Mr. President, if you make any motions for the deferring, to have motions on each one separately, and mm-hmm. that's the way the planning and zoning did it when they initially
sure.
deferred.
Okay. Okay.
The way it was announced at the beginning also.
Right.
Yes.
Entertaining motion from council?
Are we going back on each one? Or just
yes.
First,
first would be on Ordinance 1746 for the change of zone 1746 mm-hmm. to defer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You want to make that move?
Go ahead. I mean,
motion, Mr. Deaver, second, Mr. Coleman.
Yeah, just anybody do it?
To defer on change of zone 1746. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes, and that's for DelDOT information, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Bobby has motion carried.
And the next one is for the change of zone 1747.
Make motion to defer.
Yes.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mrs. Deaver, to defer on change of zone 1747. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
And the conditional use application 1986.
Motion to defer.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Cole, to defer on conditional use number 1986. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. Second, yes. Mrs. Second. Deaver?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Second. Questions on the motion?
No.
We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Tell him to put that in the file.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson? I vote yes. Motion carried.
Can
we are adjourned.
Can I get a special?
Oh, Lord. Give it.